chapter, verse 21, also the last verse of the book. And with this verse, we will, not this week, but we will conclude looking into the book of 1 John. But in 1 John 5, verse 21, he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Again, these are the closing words of John's letter. It is the very last line of his letter. He uses the term little children, not that he is speaking to little children, but it's a term of endearment. You remember earlier in the book he spoke of fathers, young men, and children, talking about spiritual levels of maturity. But here he just simply says little children, again, I believe, as a term of endearment. And then he ends the letter with a command: keep yourselves from idols. Now, to end a letter with a command is certainly not the norm. I mean, as you look through the various epistles in the New Testament, you would see that this is not the norm. It's certainly not the norm today to end a letter with a command. But certainly, John had a reason for ending his letter this way. Certainly, he had a purpose in mind of ending his letter this way. Of the 104 verses preceding verse 21, the word idol does not occur in a single one of them. It is not once in the letter mentioned the word idol. It hasn't really even spoken about idolatry. Yet he closes the letter with, keep yourselves from idols. This last line of the letter is not disconnected from the rest of the letter. It really goes back to what he said in verse 20. In verse 20 he said, "And we know that the Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true." Jesus Christ has come, pointing to God the Father, pointing to God the Father and revealing that God the Father is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father is true. Then we see that Jesus Christ is true. And then he ends verse 20 by saying, this is the true God. So three times in verse 20 we read of God or Christ, one and the same, being true. Now, what is the opposite of a true God? Well, the opposite would be a false God. A false God is an idol. God is true. He's mentioned it three times in verse 20. And now he ends the letter with the command, keep yourselves from idols, which is really a command to reverence God. And we've been looking at 1 John as an illustration of the Christian life, the life that we are to live. And it is to be a life of reverence. And when he says, keep yourselves from idols, again, that is the same as saying, live your life in reverence to God. That is, our life, like the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 20, is to be lived pointing to and manifesting the true God. And in order to do that, we have to keep ourselves from idols. So we want to consider two things here in the next couple of weeks. Number one, the meaning of the command, keep yourselves from idols. But then we want to see how that command is connected. As we've already said, the word, this is the first time the word idols is even mentioned in 1 John. How is this last command, how is this last line of the letter connected to the entire letter? But first of all, consider the meaning of the command, keep yourselves from idols. It's an individual responsibility. The word keep means to restrain. We have to restrain ourselves from idols, which means that there is a tendency in us toward idols. So we have to restrain ourselves. It means to hold back. We have to hold back ourselves from idols, which again, there is the implication that there is a tendency within us toward idols. There is a part of us that are drawn to idols. The word keep here also means to prevent oneself from idols. This would involve, keep yourselves from idols, would involve guarding, protecting, policing, and defending oneself from idols. Again, there is an implication that there is a battle. There is a battle. And because there is a battle, we have to restrain ourselves. We have to hold back. We have to guard ourselves from a danger. The danger being idols. We have to protect ourselves from idols. We have to defend ourselves from idols. So this implies that there is a battle, that there is a struggle. The word yourselves shows the individuality of the command. This is something that we all have to do individually. We have to keep ourselves from idols. And we all have idols, every one of us. We all have idols that we are drawn to. We all have idols that we have a tendency to worship, to put in the place of God. The word from, keep yourselves from, that means separate yourselves from idols. It means to remove. Keep yourselves from, that is, remove yourselves from idols. So the command is guard, protect, police, Defend yourselves from idols. Separate and remove yourselves from idols. Now, included in those words, keep yourselves from idols, would be everything that is necessary to keep ourselves from idols. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. If you're going to keep yourselves from idols, you have to keep your heart. You have to guard your heart, because all idolatry begins in the heart. So there has to be this keep yourselves from idols. Included in that is guard your heart with all diligence. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, we're told to keep thyself pure. Now, if we have idols in our lives, we're not pure. Keep thyself pure. Keep your thoughts pure. Keep your hearts pure. Keep your minds pure. Keep your lives pure. This is necessary in order to keep ourselves from idols. In James 1, verse 27, we're told to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world is filled with idolatry. The world is filled with idols. Part of keeping ourselves from idols is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I guarantee you that if we are not unspotted from the world, we are also not unspotted from idols. If we are not separated from the world, then we also have set up some idols. So keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude verse 21. Certainly that is necessary if we are going to keep ourselves from idols. So each of these things, along with many, many more, are necessary in order to keep ourselves from idols. That brings us to the question, what is an idol? And the problem is that almost everyone has their own definition of idols. What one person considers an idol, another person does not consider an idol. But it's really not up for us. It's not left to us to determine what is an idol. It's really very simple. Idols are God substitutes. That's all they are. Anything that substitutes God, I don't care what it is, anything that substitutes God is an idol. Anything that substitutes God at any time is an idol. Now, in the Old Testament, we know that the Israelites and the heathen nations, they set up idols, they took down idols, and we do the same thing. We bring something in our life, substitute for God. And there's no end. I mean, I could make a list. Hundreds and hundreds of substitutes for God, and everyone here would be offended in some way. But we all have substitutes. Substitutes for God. So we need to realize that an idol can be anything. There isn't anything in our lives. I mean, even our religion can be an idol if it substitutes for God. And many times, that's what happens. But we need to realize that anything can become an idol. Realizing that danger, that increases the responsibility, keep thyselves from an idol, from idols. So an idol is that which takes center stage in our affections. That which takes center stage in our affections. We're to love our children. If your children take center stage in your affection rather than God, that's an idol. That's an idol. You can call it whatever you want, and you can redefine it any way you want, but that's an idol. You see, an idol is not something that you have to bow down to. It doesn't have to be a wood carving. It doesn't have to be a stone. It can be anything. It can be anything. An idol occupies the place that only God should occupy. That's an idol. It occupies the place that only God should occupy. An idol is anything that holds more of a controlling position in our life than God. Again, we can make a long list. These are idols. They are things that control us. They are things that consume us. An idol is anything that is given more importance than God. And herein is a problem, because most people, most of God's people, though they would do other things rather than come to church or obviously put things ahead of God, they would deny over and over that they have put something ahead of God. But the truth is, it's given a place of more importance than God. It's an idol. It's an idol. Again, it may only be an idol for 20 minutes and you may take it down, but it's still an idol. An idol captures our attention. It occupies our minds. It fills our thoughts, and it consumes our desires more than God. Whatever gives God a back seat is an idol. That means our own plans. Many times our own plans, our own wishes, our own desires, what we want to do, gives God a back seat. That's an idol. That's an idol. So, our own plans. Really, probably the greatest idol in the world is the idol of self. Self. When we want to do what we want to do in spite of what God says, that's an idol. It's a lot of things, but it's an idol. It is the worship of self. And today, I mean, all you have to do is stroll through a bookstore, and we worship self. Everything is about self. How I feel. Self. Self is an idol. Now, behind every idol, whatever that idol is, doesn't matter what it is at this point, but whatever that idol is, behind every idol is a view that is contrary to God. Behind every idol is a view that is in opposition to God. So behind every idol is a worldview, an attitude, a spirit, an attitude and a spirit that is opposed to God. So whatever becomes more important, whatever becomes more prominent, whatever becomes more preeminent, whatever becomes more dominant, whatever becomes central in our lives rather than God, that constitutes an idol. That being true, the command, keep yourselves from idols, means that we must be on guard against everything. Everything. Things that in themselves are not sinful at all can become idols in our lives. Money. Money is not sinful. It can be used in sinful ways, of course. If it becomes an idol, it's sinful. Careers. Careers are not sinful. But if careers become dominant in our lives, that's an idol. That's an idol. Families. Friends. Families and friends are very important. But I've seen many times where families have become idols. And I've seen many times where friends have become idols. Lifestyles. Lifestyles can become idols. That is, they become the central part of our life. Possessions, fashion, again, our plans, pleasures, and on and on and on we could go. All of these things can become idols. So behind every idol is a sinful attitude. Behind every idol is an opposition against God. Behind every idol is a rebellion against God. Behind every idol is a failure to surrender to God. Behind every idol is a forgetting of who God is. When we put something in the place of God, we have forgotten. We have forgotten who God is. And that, of course, is another sin. Just like all sin, the sin of idolatry does not stand alone. Within that sin of idolatry is innumerable sins. So the letter ends with the command, and we'll continue next week, keep yourselves from idols. And this is something that concerns every single one of us. We live in a land that has the tendency to look at other nations as idolatrous nations because they have their carvings, they have their statues, they have their whatever. But that is making the mistake of limiting idols to those things. The United States of America is just as idolatrous, if not more, than any other nation on the face of the earth. And idolatry is a great danger in our lives. A great danger. So we are warned here, keep yourselves from idols. Let's look to the Lord.